All right, John chapter number 18, and we're going to look at verse number 33 down to verse number 38. John 18, verse number 33. If you're able to, let's stand as you read the scriptures, then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated. John chapter number 18 and verse number 33 says this, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at your word. I pray, God, Lord, you enable me. I pray you'd help me with this affliction I have right now. I pray you take it away. I have the strength to do this. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just speak to our hearts, keep a hedge about us. I pray that we'd listen today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God would just put a peace in our hearts and in this place. God, for the next few minutes, we would see what God has for us. And Lord, I love you. I just pray you bless us now. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Here in this passage of Scripture, we have Pontius Pilate. Jesus is brought before him. Jesus had already been arrested. He had already been punched in the face. He had already been slapped. He had already been through a mockery of a trial. His own disciples, some of them had already denied him. Many had already fled away. He's brought before Pilate. And he's brought because the Jews came and brought him and said, Pilate, you judge him. And Pilate said, it's your problem. You handle it. They said, no, we want him dead. We want Jesus put to death. And understand this, that while Rome was in charge, the Jews didn't have the authority to do a death sentence. Only the Romans could do that. So they said, we see it as this serious, so you need to judge him. So he brings in Jesus, and he stands before Pilate, and he says, I heard that you're a king. Jesus looks at him and says, who told you that? And Pilate doesn't really answer, and Pilate then says, well, what have you done? Jesus said, done nothing wrong. Pilate alludes to the fact, are you trying to take over like they say you are? The Lord says, if my kingdom were of this earth, then my people would get up and fight, but that's not while I'm here. Jesus said, I'm only here to speak and to teach truth. He looks at him and Pilate says, well, are you a king? Jesus said, you're the one that said I was. He said, I, again, am only here to tell what the truth is. And Pilate, kind of frustrated, gives us a question in verse number 38. He simply says this. You can tell he's getting frustrated. He's getting probably somewhat angry. He doesn't know how to handle this. And he looks and he goes, what is the truth? What is the truth? It's an interesting question. We live in a world today where a lot of people are asking the same question. We live in a world today where people don't want to answer that question. Turn back in John chapter number 8 real quick. Then we'll go right back there. But turn back just a few pages to John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8 and in verse number 40. John 8 and verse number 40. It says this. John 8:40 says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Look at verse number 45. He continues the conversation. Jesus says, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil?" Jesus tells them, he says, you're not listening because you don't want the truth. Now the verse we skipped, go back up there, verse number 44. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You notice what Jesus said there, that those that were not saved were listening to the devil, and the devil is a liar. The devil lies. And he says this, he says about the devil, that there is no truth in him. Did you catch that phrase? There is no truth in him. Not only is he a liar, he is the father of lies and liars. But Jesus even adds this, that there is no truth in him. You say, what are you trying to make a point of? We live in a society that goes with that philosophy. Because of the demonic control in the culture in which we live in today, there is this philosophy that kind of goes in this way: no one really knows the truth. So everyone can just believe what they want to believe, as long as it doesn't offend me. But we live in a world of no absolutes, where there is no truth. And I'm here to tell you that that philosophy is straight from the pits of hell. To say that there is no truth, because there's one, only one, in whom dwells no truth, and that's the devil. But yet we live in that world today. People say things like this: well, if you want to go to God, you just find your own way, and I'm sure you'll be all right. We live in a society that doesn't want any truth. We live in a society, and in our school systems, and in our government, and about every area of life, you're taught a philosophy that truth is perspective. Truth is how you see it. Truth is relative. Truth is whatever your point of view is. All you have to do is turn on the news, and you hear two different sides of two different truths. Everybody decides truth is based on what they think. And I'm here to tell you today that truth is not based on what I think. Truth is not based on what you think. Truth is based upon God. He is that absolute. But yet there are many people that teach and such perspectives and philosophies that, well, if you want to believe in a higher power, then that's fine. If you don't believe in a higher power, then that's not fine. They're both wrong. Some believe that God is distant, unknowable, unsearchable, that no one can have a relationship with God. Some believe in reincarnation, that there is no God, that we come back according to how we lived our lives and in some other form of life. Some believe that Jesus was a good man. Some believe that Jesus did not exist. The agnostic will say, who knows anything? The agnostic today says no one can know anything, so just however you feel. The atheist says that there is no God at all, that man just lives their life for man. The Buddhist has his own philosophy. He thinks that everything, happiness, is found in wisdom and being kind to other people. There are those who believe in the teachings of Confucius, which has to do with harmony, just getting along with not just people, but with nature, yourself, a humanist philosophy. There's the Gnostic. Gnostic is someone who believes there's a God, but you can't know him. There's some higher power out there, but it's not for us. And the key to life is just to learn more. And that basically we're all stuck in ignorance. There's those who believe and practice Hinduism. It's where you get the word karma. However your intent was will come back to you. A rebirth in many ways. It's all about the body and the mind. There are those who teach the philosophy of Islam that Muhammad was a great man, equal as a prophet with Jesus, that he was given another book called the Quran. There are those who teach that they are pagans, just uncultured, live life how you want to. And I could go on today and talk for the next hour and a half of different beliefs of what people believe the truth is. And our philosophy and our culture today, especially in this country, is everyone just get along. As long as you don't offend the other person. You even see those bumper stickers on the back of cars. Yeah, you've probably seen them. It has the word coexist. It has the different symbols of different religions. And I'm going to pause and say this. We should coexist. I believe we're part of a nation that you have the right and the freedom to believe how you want to believe. But the reason that was set up, and by the way, that philosophy and that teaching and that freedom that we have today, the freedom of religion, it was birthed in a small little colony called Rhode Island. It was birthed under the teachings of a man named John Clark, who had this philosophy, and by the way, he was a Baptist, but he said this, and this is why he taught it. He said, if you have a level playing field and allow people to share what the truth is, this truth will prevail. So thus we have freedom of religion, which 100% for. But having said that, it doesn't mean that everyone else is right. And it doesn't matter my opinion. It doesn't matter what I personally think. But there's so many things today that people are asking the question, well, what is the truth? And people kind of throw their hands up and say, well, no one can really know truth. It's just perspective, whatever you think the truth is. Pilate looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and frustrated said, what is truth? And he walked out. And then, I didn't read these last few verses in John 18, but he walked out and he looked at the people and said, I don't find any fault in him. So you do whatever you want to do here. And they cried out, crucify him. He said, all right, at this time we can release one. Here's a murderer and a thief, or I can release this Jesus. He's thinking, they're going to take Jesus for sure. And they said, release Barabbas, the murderer. Kill Jesus. You understand this, that when we have no idea what the truth is, and we kind of give up on trying to find the truth, it always lends to a culture that just do whatever you want to do. And that philosophy will always end up in destruction. So I want to look at you just for a few minutes this morning. Let's answer Pilate's question. I mean, what is the truth? What is truth? How do I know what I'm saying today is the truth? How do you know what you believe is the truth? I talked to a pastor this week. Had two different philosophies on things. I gave him mine, he gave me his. I said, well, which one's truth? It doesn't matter. Us and our opinions. Because we do have truth. Look at a few things very quickly with me. Go in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We use our Bibles a lot this morning, but it'll go quick. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at these verses with me, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 6. Second Corinthians 6 and verse number 4 says, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God. And he goes on saying that these things can be found to be the truth. Let's skip down for time's sake at verse number 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God. The word of truth. So what's Paul talking about? Turn a little bit more to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. A few more pages to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look with me in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of" what? Truth. I'm here to tell you that number one, truth is the scriptures. This book is true because it's God's word. So, you know, there's all kinds of different philosophies out there. There's all kinds of different things and different beliefs. Well, how do you know which one's true? Well, everyone came from God. So, well, that takes faith. It sure does. Yet I have a book in front of me, and most of you do too, that throughout the history of time has been 100% completely accurate. Man has tried to find discrepancies and has failed every time. Man has tried to see contradictions and they fail every time. History and this book are in perfect harmony. For years, I remember when I was a teenager, there was the thought that people used as a contradiction, say, the Bible talks about these Hittites, and archaeologists have never found Hittites. And when I was a teenager, they found the Hittites. Wow. Matter of fact, recently, in the last year, I follow news feeds from National Geographic and a few others, but it's been interesting how many things that they have found which lined up to the Word of God just in the last year. It's been very interesting. You take the kings and when they ruled, what the Bible says and what history ends up showing, completely the same. You take science and this book and science, they're a perfect match. True science. What's the difference? Well, they believed at one time that someone got really sick, if you got all the tainted blood out of them, that they might heal. You know, though, in the first five books of the Bible, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know what scientists found out? This book is right. We could go talk about the stars, planets, path of orbits. This book is exactly right. I don't care what avenue, all the dates, even all the things that, for years, there were those who said, well, the Bible says that when the Lord comes back, that there'll be a state of Israel again, and there is no state of Israel, and there wasn't until 1948. And there is. So what are you trying to say? That in every way, this book is 100% accurate. There's not another book ever that's ever been created that has that testimony. There are always contradictions. And when you stop and consider that this book was written over a period of 1,600 years by over 40 different men over 1,600 years, and to understand that all of their writings put together into one book has no contradiction, that's impossible, humanly speaking. I mean, if we walked out of this auditorium today and we had, say we have 120 people in this auditorium and we all wrote down what the preacher preached on and what he was wearing, we'd have 100 different discrepancies. Yet, this book is perfect. Because this is not man's origin. Now, how do we get this book? These 40 different men, the Bible says, the holy men of God wrote as the Holy Ghost spake to them. Because it wasn't their words. God's word. So I start today by telling you this, that what is truth? It's this book. It is this book. So while there's many different philosophies found out there with different religions and even in Christendom and even amongst Baptists, what is truth? This book. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says. I don't care, and you shouldn't even really care what my philosophy is on things. I'm just a man like you. But what this book says is everything. Because this book is truth. It is, I love how they said this, there's in 1 Thessalonians, that you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the words of God. So this is truth. Turn back in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. What is truth? The scriptures are the truth. In John chapter number 14, Jesus looks at his disciples and he tells them that he has to leave. He's going to die. He's going to go away. But he tells them in verse number 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Then Thomas looks at him and saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now the Lord had just told him that I'm going. And I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I'm going, you can go too. And Thomas said, how do we know all this? Jesus saith unto him, verse number 6, how can I get there, Thomas? Jesus said, I am the way. How do we know these things to be so? Because Jesus said, not only am I the way, but what? I'm the truth. What am I going to give you? Eternal life. How? Because I am the life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Understand this. What is truth today? How can I be assured of truth? You say, why are you preaching to us? We're all here. Obviously, we all believe this. That's why we're sitting here. Because we live in a world today that even Christians are taking a back seat, afraid to speak up. We don't want to offend anybody. And I'm not here to offend people. I'm not here to make anybody mad. But we have an obligation to speak the truth with love. To tell other people with love the truth. See, a lot of us as Christians are taking the one part about loving, which we should, but we forget the part about speaking the truth. We just say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to make anybody mad. I just want them to know I love them. I want them to know I love them too, but you have to speak the truth in love. Say, how do I know that I'm right? I hope that everyone in this auditorium leaves today saying, I am confident in my faith, not because of who I am, not because Cazadale Baptist Temple, not because of Travis Burke, but because the truth is the Word of God. The truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What He has said, what He has done is the truth. He is truth. He is the truth. If it came from the Lord, it's the truth. You say, well, what about those who don't believe in God? Because there's quite a few people out there that don't believe in God, so why would they listen? Well, and look over in Romans in chapter number 1 real quick. Romans chapter number 1. You go to the typical public school, you go to the typical workplace, you go to wherever you're going to go in this world, and there's people going to sit there and say, yeah, but I don't believe in God, so why would I think, you know, you say, well, do they have a pass? Not at all. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 19 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And we're going to keep reading. Do you know God created every man and woman with a knowledge of God in their heart? You say, but there's those atheists out there that say there is no God. Yeah, the Bible describes them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He can say it. Doesn't say the fool believes there is no God. Sometimes we just say that. But the fool doesn't believe in his heart there is no God. The fool what? Says it. I can say anything. I can tell you right now I'm wearing a pink suit with a purple bow tie. I can say whatever I want to, but you know the truth. I'm wearing a stunningly handsome suit this morning, right? Yeah. No, I'm kidding, right? That was a joke too. But the fact is this, you can say what you want to. Doesn't make it truth. The fool says there is no God, but he's being a fool because God made him with a knowledge of God in his heart. That is why, and I love history, you can study all history, start as ancient as you want to and work your way up. In civilizations that did not believe in this God, they still had a God. Usually had multiple gods. They were constantly searching for the God because something inside of them knew that there was a God. Let's keep reading. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You know why the devil introduced such a teaching as evolution and why it's training generation after generation to believe that everything happened by some big explosion or some giant accident or over a period of millions and millions of years that man became what they were? Because it is in the devil's attempt of denying that there is a God that they already know within them, but giving them excuse not to listen to it. Because even creation shouts at us that there's a God. Creation demands a designer. Whether you're picking up the beautiful flower, or you're looking up at the clouds, or watching the water cycle, or you're looking at the grass, or even the human body, which will heal itself in amazingly ways and works, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what you want to look at today. That's God. Those things don't accidentally happen. There was a creator. And you understand that God made us with this knowledge, and then he put creation around us that confirms what we know in our heart, that there is a God. It says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. You can sit here today and say, well, I choose not to believe in a God. Well, you will stand before that God someday without an excuse. You say, but I didn't believe it. God made you with a knowledge of God. God surrounded you with the creation that demanded a God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, and they did, they knew God. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they didn't want to recognize God, so they created something that was vain or empty or make-believe. I've been reading through Chronicles on my personal devotions, and it's sad how that the people of Judah continually, they would have a good king, and then they would go back to the altars of Baal. There in Israel, they built them golden calves. They knew better, but they kept going back to it because they wanted to deny God, and so they kept going back to these false and these imaginations. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. We live in that world, don't we? Technology is at its zenith. Number one, I beg to differ. I'd like to see them build a pyramid without a crane that is in perfect harmony with the setting of the sun without an instrument. Our technology is at its zenith. There were some pretty smart dudes before us. But in any case, I won't go stay on it long, all right? But wisdom, our doctors, our PhDs, and all these men that are creating all these things, mankind is evolving into something special. No, we are becoming more and more distant from God, which is leading to the damnation of souls. Because God made us with the knowledge that there's a God, but yet we profess ourselves to be wise, but instead, in all of our technology, and in all of our books that are written, and in all the education systems that we have, yet becoming fools. So what's a fool? Person who says there's no God. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, we begin to worship creation. I won't go down that path. Hugging all the trees, and I'm all for it. We have been made stewards of this earth. Amen. So I do think we should take care of. If I see you dumping oil in, you know, the creek, I'm going to say that's ridiculous. Stop. All right. You shouldn't. I'll just tell you that. Now, I'm not a tree hugger. Right.
I'll cut it down and make something out of it, right? No, I won't. I'll have Brother Mick do it. But I still, right? It was made for us. I don't worship the trees. I don't worship the birds. And I will shoot the deer, all right? I'm fine with that. Actually, I don't hunt, so some of you are mad at me. I've never been a hunter. But I'll catch lots of fish, right? I just don't have the patience to hunt. But I don't worship that stuff. We've been made stewards of it. We'll keep reading here. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. You know what happens? Now, follow along. God made everyone with the knowledge of God in their heart. I'm trying to describe to you the world in which we live in today. God made us that way. But instead of welcoming that in, and instead of seeing creation that demands that there's a God, instead, we start creating our own gods. And I just went through a list of different beliefs of what he's talking about when I began the sermon. Islam, Confucian, not the Gnostic, Hindu, etc., etc., etc. So they don't want this God. So instead now, we just want wisdom. And we have that in this world. We have so much knowledge going on. Yet, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. They begin to worship creation. They begin to worship, nature and worship all the things that are out there that God gave us to use. So then what does God do? Because of their rebellion against God, there is a repercussion. When you live and deny that there's a God, when you accept a false teaching like you were created from and evolved from some animal, then you're going to start acting that way. You're going to start living in light of that false knowledge. And so what happens, they're given up to uncleanness, and God says you're going to end up with a society that is eat up with lust. A society that is eat up in wickedness, uncleanness, doing things that we would not even speak of in a mixed congregation today. It will end up in a place where inside their own heart, they're even dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. It goes on to talk about how that man will lie with man and woman with woman. A sodomy will be the end result. Why? Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into what? A lie. They look at those who believe the scriptures, who believe in Jesus, and say, you don't know that's true. That's a bunch of junk. We're not going to listen to that. And they end up serving the creature more than the creator. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even the women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves the recompense of the error which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Understand what that verse just said. It's there. They just don't like it. They'll tell you it's not there. They're lying. They just don't like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gives them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled. Pick up your newspaper. Look at the news. Look at what's going on in the crimes. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I just described to you 2019. This book written 2,000 years ago that says when man says no to what God created in them and decides that he doesn't want to follow that God and creates these false gods and starts serving nature and starts to just live for wisdom and technology and pushes away God and decides to just seek himself, that is where the world will end up and that is where we are. So everyone looks at each other and says, well, no one even knows the truth. Yeah, we do. It's in this book. And I'll give you some proof here just in the Romans chapter number 1. of some words that was written 2,000 years ago that sounds eerily like where we live today. What is truth? The scriptures are the truth. The Savior is the truth. Now, I'm marking these off because I'm just picking and choosing. I got 10 of these. I can't say a whole lot more, but I'll tell you this. John chapter number 16. Look in John chapter number 16. John 16 and verse number 13. John 16, verse number 13, talks about the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said when he ascends, that he will send the Holy Spirit. And verse number 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. Is come, he will guide you into all what? Truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. God has left us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is truth. So what's the Holy Spirit do? Describe him. We have a triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he did not leave us here without him. We have the Holy Spirit within us. The moment Ephesians says you believe in Christ, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit. The moment you receive Jesus and you get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And God describes in many of these passages what he does. Number one, he will comfort you. When you're going through a difficult time, maybe a loss, a grief, or whatever it may be, he is the God of comfort. But not only that, but he's the teacher. If you leave today having learned anything, it was not because of my oratory skills. If you learned anything from the Word of God, it's because the Holy Spirit taught you. He is the teacher of this book. You know, sometimes people leave and say, wow, I learned something today. And I always say, praise the Lord. Because it isn't me, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us. It's that Holy Spirit who maybe we're involved in something and I don't have to go down any path right now. I can just say maybe we're involved in a sin and already the Holy Spirit told you what that is. Because he always leads in truth. And he convicts. So if you stand here today, you're not saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God that says, please receive the gift of eternal life. He draws men to the Lord. Thankful for that. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He'll teach you. So in just a moment, when we stand under an invitation, something in your heart says, you need to be saved. You need to receive Jesus Christ. You've never received Christ as your Savior. He died for you, and there is hope. Go to him. How do I know that's truth? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't lie. If God already, the Holy Spirit, has brought a sin to your thoughts and just the preaching of sin, something that's involved in your life that maybe no one else even knows about, but the Holy Spirit already told you, you need to get this right today. Well, should I? The Holy Spirit only leads in truth. He is the truth. I got so many of these. Just let me give you one more. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 1 and we'll close. Ephesians chapter number 1. While you're turning there, I'll give you my other points. Galatians, I'll just read, don't turn there, but you be in Ephesians. But in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16 says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul's talking about living the liberty of the gospel and how it sets us free and how we ought to live a different life. Can I tell you, separating from error is the truth. A lot of times, especially those who, I just preached on sodomy, right? There's people that are going to point a finger if they hear this, the right people are going to say, you know, you're speaking hate. I love. We ought to love everybody. But the truth is that's a sin. I read a quote. This isn't my quote, but I liked it. It said this: truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth always sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. The sanctuary ought to be a place of truth. The church, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 3:15, is the pillar and ground of what? Truth. We ought to be able to come here and hear the truth. And praise the Lord, we do. The truth will set you free in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 17, verse number 17, we are sanctified through truth. When we follow the truth, it will separate us and make us more like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14, our truth is our security. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 6, and in 3 John, talks about the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth satisfies. But let me close with this. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and in verse number 13, it says this: in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What is this word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can I tell you something? Look at me and we'll be done. Salvation's the truth. Not just everyone's different thoughts on it, but what Jesus said, because he's truth. What the scriptures say, because it is true. What the Holy Spirit says, and he only speaks of Jesus, is true. The gospel, it says there, look at verse number 13. The gospel of your salvation is the word of truth. Back a page to Galatians chapter number 2 and in verse number 5. Brother Jordan, will you read 2 Thessalonians 2:12? But turn back. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse number 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you. The gospel's truth. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:12, please, brother. Understand this, the gospel is the truth. And if you don't believe the gospel, those who do not believe the gospel are damned. I'm not cursing. I'm giving you what the Bible says. I'm not using it blasphemy. And one of the reasons why we say that is a curse word is because only God has the authority to damn anything. That's why we don't say that about things, because I don't have the authority to damn anything, nor do you. And when we say that, the reason why is, some people ask, why is that a curse word? Because when we say that, we're putting ourselves in the place of God. And that's blasphemy. Only God. But God says those who do not believe the gospel, the truth, will be damned. What is the gospel? Simply said, everybody look at me, that Christ died. Why did he die? Because the wages of sin is death. See, but Jesus didn't sin. You're exactly right. But all of us have. Every one of us, and because of that, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us, anyone who has ever lived, needed someone to pay for that, because we can't pay for it ourselves. Because we're incapable. But he who is perfect died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15 says the gospel is the death of Christ, but not just the death, but the burial of Christ. He died and was buried. What happened when he was buried? The Bible says in Ephesians, he went down and led captivity captive. He went down there to where Abraham was and Isaac was and Jacob was, where even the thief that had just died on the cross, he went there and said, hey, we're going home. They have been in a place called paradise. We read about there when the rich man and Lazarus died. There was a great gulf between hell and this place called paradise. But Jesus descended there in his death and said, it has been paid for. Christ died because of our sins. He was buried. But then he rose again. Why is it so important? Because the wages of sin is what? If Jesus would have stayed dead, death would have got him. But he didn't. He arose. When he arose, he ascended, and he's at the right hand of God right now. Even as I preach right now, the Lord is seated there at the right hand of God. Looking over, he knows what's going on in this congregation right now. He's watched every church service that has gone on where the gospel has been preached, and he is pleading for the lost to listen today because he loves you to believe the gospel, for it is truth. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ and believed your faith in the gospel, would you do so today? If you're a believer today and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something, it's only truth, would you get it right today? May we go out from this place and not be ashamed of the truth. What is truth, Pilate said? It's the Word of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It is our salvation through the gospel. That is truth. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray.